Hey team, today's episode is a little bit of a mix. We've got some Ask Me Anything questions in the second half of this episode. But first of all, we have a rant. Because look, I like to keep this space supportive and positive. That's how I want you to feel about your money. But sometimes things happen and I just see red. And that is exactly what happened when I got a message from a friend landing in my DMs last week. Now this message, for those who are watching on YouTube, I'll pop it up. But she said to me, look, kind of scary. There's now a loan agency just for cosmetic treatments. And I don't know, maybe I'm just being old fashioned. Ha ha. Which is so funny. It's so typical of how we say things when we're a little concerned as a woman. Like, I don't know, maybe this is a me problem. Doesn't feel great. But look, she attached these two screenshots for an ad that had just popped up on her Instagram. And I saw these and my first thought was just gross. Maybe I'm being judgmental, was my second thought. And so I decided I'm going to dive into this account to check. Surely someone isn't actually just trying to convince women to get cosmetic surgery and to get a loan to do it and is sending out targeted ads on Instagram to do it. So I start clicking around this website. And in no time at all, I was just horrified by, frankly, at the very least, new to me, but a new level of predatory lending. Targeted ads offering debt and focusing on your insecurities in order to get you into debt with them. And some of these ads were very specific in what they were targeting. They're targeting mums. They were targeting people who wanted their teeth done. They were targeting people who had any sort of insecurity at all. So just had a baby? Reclaim your confidence, mama. Thanks to a loan that will be approved in just 24 hours, invest in you, mama. Nip, tuck, and suck that body back into feeling just how it used to. Or maybe you can't afford dental treatment, but you should invest into the asset that is your smile. Fast approval, just 24 hours. Now, what's the problem with all of that anyway? First of all, notice anything here. How quickly they're trying to rush you through the process. So, just 24 hours to be approved. So don't think about this too much. Don't think about whether you can afford this. Don't think about whether the treatment you want could actually be major surgery. Just click, apply, go. Don't think. Now, this is the opposite of what's usually good money management. For good money management, we often say, take a beat before you buy something. Even a walk around the block can be enough to break the spell and make you think, well, actually, I don't even want that at all. What was I getting hooked into there? You just carry on with your day and you don't care. Even better, make yourself wait at least a week before any major money decisions. This cooling down period can cut out most impulse buys that you didn't truly want in the first place. And if you do actually still want it, go for it. It's probably something that will actually add to your life, but the cooling down period helps you figure that out. Now, of course, a loan company doesn't want you to take that time to actually think about it. They want you beholden to them and paying lots of interest and fees. Paying more for the exact same thing because you use debt for it. And even more so when they're talking about using this to fund cosmetic surgery. Now, I am not anti-cosmetic surgery, but if you are making a permanent alteration to your body, often at great expense, I do think you should be sure about it and probably have thought about it for more than 24 hours. Not a decision to be rushed. There can be side effects, or maybe in a few months' time, you'll wish you had your nose back because it looks like your mum's nose and you actually liked sharing that. Or actually, maybe the process of saving up for it gave you the time to research and you find a different option that works even better for you. I don't love 24-hour approval for loans, but I really, really don't love it when it's for cosmetic surgery. So is this self-care or self-sabotage? You'll have heard me say before, money and emotions should just never mix. Oil and water, the best way to make a bad decision with your money is to be making it from a place of emotion. Now, in this case, they are very deliberately playing with your emotions. The fear that your looks can hold you back. The worry that you're not yourself anymore after having a baby. Now, honestly, I'll just be upfront on this one. That one really hit a nerve for me because after having two babies, I was so vulnerable after each one. I'm still working on getting back to my pre-baby self. My second baby is now 9 months old. He's so cute. I am not feeling so cute. I don't feel like myself. It's really tricky. There are physical changes that happen. There's a road to recovery. Like, I'll get there. Don't worry about me too much. I did it before. I'll do it again. But do I love this process? Absolutely not. It takes forever. And it's hard. And I wish I didn't have to deal with it, frankly. I'm not the world's most patient person. And it just takes a while after you've had a baby to feel like yourself again. So to have debt dangled in front of you as the golden keys to a quick fix, especially when you're not even looking for it, but they're targeting you with an ad when you're just trying to scroll online and get a quick break and see what your friends are up to. I bet plenty of women are tired and vulnerable and frankly desperate enough to consider it, no matter what the future costs might be. The last thing you need is an ad targeted at you to whisper in your ear, you were so much better before. Don't worry, we can help you afford it. When actually, no, you probably can't afford it. You're about to spiral into a debt trap that makes your life so much harder because this debt company got their little fingers in your pockets. They're not really selling you a loan here. They're selling you a dream, a vision of you, but better, happier, more confident. But confidence isn't bought on credit. Self-care doesn't involve a loan that takes years to pay off, even after only 24 hours to be approved. But just don't think. All for the low, low price of, wait, how much is it? Oh, of course, there's no mention of numbers anywhere. What's the interest rate? Who knows? What's the application fee? No idea. Is there an early payment fee to stop you from trying to get out of the debt quicker if it's all a bit too much? Sometimes they will have a fee if you try to pay this off faster. Does this company have that? Not a clue. I went all through their website. I spent a good half hour looking. The information on how much this will cost you, nowhere to be found. I looked. I clicked everywhere. The only possibility left was to actually apply for the loan and see what they came back to me with. And I'm not giving a company like this my email address. There was no open information available before applying on how much this loan might cost you. So, is that a fin in the water? Because I believe we've got a loan shark circling. I wish I could say that I'm surprised that there are companies willing to stoop this low. And unfortunately, I'm not. I'm not surprised. This is all probably legal. But personally, I find it disgusting that there is a company trying to make money in this way. Given that they're extremely quiet about how much the loan will cost, I bet it's big money that they want to make from anyone who's pulled into this. Like I say, not anti-cosmetic surgery. Who knows? If the eye bags keep getting worse, I might get a little bit of the old Botox or whatever. No problem. Not ruling it out. What I am anti is these debt companies trying to prey on insecurities, rushing you, tapping into emotions in order to lure you into a debt trap, and targeting ads at you so that even if you weren't looking for this, they're trying to pull you under anyway. Now, if you're considering some sort of procedure, save for it. Give yourself time to think. Because when you finally book it with money you actually have, that decision will feel a lot better. And whether or not it's for cosmetic surgery, there are big lessons to learn from this debt company and the predatory way that they are acting. If you are being rushed, if you are being sold a dream, or if you're feeling emotional in any way from what is in front of you, that is a whole parade's worth of red flags. Run. The best we can do about it is honestly just warn each other, make sure our friends don't fall into these debt traps either. So stay smart with your money. Don't give it to companies like this. Right. We're going to take a moment to gather ourselves. I'm going to answer all your burning questions next. We're getting into the Ask Me Anything. Switching gears entirely, we're going to jump into the Ask Me Anything. I'm going to answer all your questions and hopefully we'll all feel a bit more positive around here. So the first couple that you sent me through were on the 4% rule with investing. So 4% rule with investing, does that mean you have enough to last 30 years or forever? Love this. So if anyone hasn't come across the 4% rule in investing before, your money, your future. That one. I talk a lot about financial independence there and how it all works. And a key part of that is how much of your investments can you spend? And the 4% rule says that you can spend 4% of, if you have a broad range of share market investments, something like funds, then you can usually spend 4% of that once you've hit your goal. So say you've got $1 million invested, you can spend $40,000 a year every day until you die. Now, this actually also takes into account tax, it takes into account fees, takes into account inflation. So people will be like, oh, $40,000 in 30 years when I manage to do this, that won't be worth anything. Well, actually, it's taken into account inflation already. That's why the 4% number is low. The share market, on average, gives back 7% a year. And that's after fees, taxes, inflation. New Zealand, I believe, specifically, when you look at every year it's been around, this is off the top of my head, but I think it's an average of 10.65. I think that's the number. It's definitely over 10%, but I think it's 10.65 that on average it has given you back every year. So some years have been more, some years have been less. On average, it's been 10% from the New Zealand share market. The New Zealand share market doesn't do that great. So that's pretty good. That also includes the disastrous 1987 crash. That's included in that average number and all the years afterwards where it was really bad. So even with all that in the mix, you've got an average of 10% per year. So then you say, take out some for fees, take out some for taxes, take out some for inflation, you're down to 7%. Now, the 4% rule, why we say you can take out 4% of your investment money, that's because you should be able to take that out every year until you die. Your money might actually get bigger in that time. In fact, in most situations, it would. Now, you can't predict the future. Right? That's why the 4% is kind of conservative. Your money will probably grow in that time and you might be able to take out your 4% that might increase each year because your little nest egg will keep increasing, which is exciting. That's really exciting. So yeah, does that mean you have enough to last 30 years or forever? They have run this using past data and said if you started in 1960, if you started in 1962, if you started in 1970, to take into account all of these different things, could you make it last forever? And they only found over a period of more than 100 years, 2 years where it didn't last forever. It's pretty good. And that's because the share market crashed right as they started to try to take it out. So the danger is if you have a share market crash right at the very beginning, even if you have a share market crash a few years in, the 4% rule takes that into account. Now, if you're listening to all this and you're thinking, Francis, you've dived straight into numbers and this is all getting very confusing, my book, Your Money, Your Future, takes you through this in more depth and a little more slowly. And I had an editor who would write little notes to me in the margins and say, you're confusing me, go back. So if my very quick YouTube video isn't making sense to you, that's totally cool. Your Money, Your Future, it's also an audiobook if you prefer to listen to it. So check that out, okay? And then followed up with the 4% rule. Is that 4% I draw on tax-free? Yes, because it's all taken into account as part of that rule. So that's exciting, right? That's a very simple, easy way of how much you could spend of your investments. My favorite part of investing, the bit where I get to live the high life. Now this is a curly question. How did you know when was the right age to have kids with balancing your career? So for anyone who doesn't follow me on social media, or maybe you're new around here, I've got two kids, obviously, as I mentioned previously in my rant. One who is 3.5, one who is 9 months, and they are an absolute delight. Are they good for your career? No. Are they good for your money? No. Are they wonderful for many other aspects of life? Yes. I think it is always useful to start these conversations with a little dose of realism. And some might say that I'm being negative or cynical or whatever. I don't know. I just don't think it's helpful to lie to people. The reality is, I don't know that there's ever a good time to have kids. I don't know that there's ever a time when it won't hurt your career. Sorry to say that. There's all sorts of stuff around that is supposed to mean that it doesn't hold your career back or your money back. And it's better than it was. But let's be honest, my career went totally sideways when I had kids. For anyone who kept up with all of the stuff that happened last year with my career, all of that stuff happened, started in the lead up to my maternity leave. Now, I can't say too much about that because they would love to get me legally, but it's pretty easy to read between the lines of what happened. It wouldn't have happened if I wasn't going on maternity leave. Now, I'm someone who I worked out one of the reasons that I started looking into my money and wanted to make changes was I hit my late 20s and myself and my partner, we've been together forever. We knew that we wanted to have kids in our sort of early 30s. That was sort of when we were mentally had that moment of when we wanted to go for it. A little bit of time to build up your life, get yourself sorted, and then have the family. And I looked at my career at that time. I was a journalist. I did shift work. I could sometimes start work anywhere from 3:30 in the morning or could be finishing at midnight. Now, not on the same day. It wasn't like insane shifts, but I did shift work that could be like anywhere around there, like especially in the radio world. The radio is always on. The news is always going. And also sometimes news events are happening and everyone else is in bed, but the news is going on. You know, you've got to get going. And so I looked at that and I thought, that's not compatible with the type of family life I want to live. So I'm going to have to figure something out here. I'm going to have to start steering my career in a certain direction. I'm going to have to figure out my money. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so that was why I started really actively building up my money, really actively building up my investments and trying to make myself very valuable in my career so that, you know, the more valuable you are, the more leeway you'll be given in certain areas. If they know that you do something that most people can't, they will make more allowances for you in other areas like work from home or flexible hours or whatever, whatever, whatever. Those things still might stop you progressing in your career. Nobody's going to say that to you because that's illegal, but it still might behind the scenes. Like, I'm sorry, that is the reality. It shouldn't happen, but it does. And it's hard to prove because it's illegal. So how do you know what's the right age to have kids with balance in your career? I think there's never the perfect time. There are better times. And where we landed on it was just we wanted to say we're-ish stable. we've-ish got things sorted in our careers. Now is an okay time to hit pause. Because it is going to be a bit of a pause, especially while they're young. You're going to be tired. You're not going to have a lot of energy to put in your career. And it's going to be fantastic. Like, I really want to emphasize, of all the decisions I've made in my life, there's a few I regret. Kids is not one of them. They're fantastic. They're so great. They're so funny. I try really hard to respect my kids' privacy, so I can't tell you what's so funny because all the funny things they do are also probably quite embarrassing to them. But they're so funny and they're so great. But yeah, it probably did wreck my career. But where it landed, and this has happened to some of my friends as well, is I instead built my own business doing a version of what I was doing before. And now I am fully in control. But now, is it a lot? It's a lot to run your own business. It's a lot to be fully in charge of yourself. And it was really the journey of getting here was hard, but so worth it. Where I have landed now, running my own business and being in charge of my own things and having my family and sometimes working funny hours, but you know, I get to drop off and pick up my kids from all of their activities. I'm there all the time. I get to work from home. I've built something that is uniquely mine and works for me. So just because something is hard doesn't mean it's not like the best thing. I don't know if I fully answered your question, but I hope I have. Basically, it's not going to be the best time, but you'll figure it out. You'll make it work. But don't just wait for it to fall out of the sky. Figure it out. I mean, like, actively work on it. Think about it. Make a plan. And you can make that plan and it'll be good. There we go. Ooh, a couple of property questions as well. Let me check how we're going on time. Oh, yeah, we're pretty good. The available equity in my house, could I be using it to increase wealth or have I fallen for the typical New Zealand mindset? So equity is how much of your house you actually own. So say you put down, we talk about putting down a 10 or 20% deposit on a house. That would be your equity. You would have 10 or 20% that you actually own. The rest is owned by the bank who've given you the mortgage. The more of that mortgage that you pay off, then you have more equity in your house. So maybe you've paid off another 5% as you've been paying off your mortgage. Well, great. Now you have 25% equity. So quick speed run there on anyone who hasn't come across that before. So in terms of, could you be using that to increase wealth? Yes. Do you have to? No. Entirely up to you. So ways that people would use their house to look for other ways to increase their wealth. As you pay it off, you're building up more money there, and then you can use that to get another loan for something else. So the most common ones are an investment property. If you want to get into investment property, that is the standard way most people do it, that you would have the first home and then you would, what they say, leverage, so using more debt to get an investment property. So you have to pay off quite a bit of your house in order to do that because, at least in New Zealand, we say that you need more in the investment property. I think it's 30% now. I have to double check that. They keep changing it. Political football. But I believe it's a 30% down that you have to have on an investment property currently. And then, of course, you still have to have 20% on your current house. So you'd still need to pay off a lot. Sometimes people also will use it as seed money to start a business, which is another fantastic idea. But again, you've got to be really careful because obviously you're using your home to guarantee a business. And many small businesses fail. So if you're going to do that, make sure it's a business that you have tested first, that you know, I've got some customers going on this. You've maybe started it as a side hustle. You've tested it out and you're like, okay, I'm going to go to the next level. I need a little bit of money for it. I can tap the mortgage for it. Even better if you can do it without debt though. I started my business without debt. If you can do it, that's the best way to do it. But sometimes you can't. And so that's another way you can do it. Now, do you have to do that? Absolutely not. You might want to invest in shares instead. Really bad idea to invest in shares using debt. So you would just do that using money that you've got. Or you might, If you're starting that business, like I say, start it without any debt. And there's all sorts of ways you can build wealth without using your home equity. It's purely what you want to achieve. So I think it's less like, ooh, do I have to do this to do well with my money? Never. You never have to do anything. It's what are your goals? What do you want? And what's going to help you achieve it? Your home can be one thing that helps you achieve those things. Or it might not. There are no hard and fast rules. Okay. On that note, these weren't actually sent in to me as the Ask Me Anything. I put the Ask Me Anything on my Instagram because it's easy. But these were comments on the YouTube channel that it's sometimes hard. Like, I love responding to your comments. Sometimes when I don't respond, it's not that I don't see you. Sometimes I miss comments. But sometimes it's not that I don't see you. It's that I'm sort of like, that is hard for me to respond to in writing. Because in writing, you lose the tone. And I don't ever want it to come across like I don't like your question or I think that you're wrong to have asked it. Questions are always great. And I don't want it to come across like I'm snapping at you. And I'm like, I can't think of a way to answer this quickly without having a tone that I don't mean to have. So I thought I would answer these on a video instead so you can see the tone here that I'm okay with the question. So it was on a couple of episodes where I talked to a property investor on the podcast. And I'm just going to, there was a couple of different ones. I'm just going to give you the gist of them, right? So someone said, it's a little on the nose to be talking about property investment and mortgages to homeowners together, especially as every homeowner is paying way over the top prices for homes because of property investment. And every homeowner is a property investor. It's a tad insulting. And another person said, with some of your guests being self-made property investors, they have a similar story. It's great stories, but it's not that helpful for people trying to get ahead in 2025. And they sort of went ahead of how property prices have gone up and how hard it is to get into property now. Now, I so get what you're getting at, right? I totally get the frustration with when you're at the beginning of your money journey and you maybe can't even buy that first home and you hear someone talking about a bunch of investment properties, whether they have 5 or 10 or whatever. And you might listen to that and just think, I don't want to hear from you because I just want a home. And here you are investing in homes that maybe I could have bought. And I get why that is frustrating. Here's why I still have those people on the podcast. Now, this is never going to be just a property investing podcast because that's not what we're here for. We all know my first love is shares. I love the share market. It's fantastic. It's available to everyone. I don't feel like anyone misses out by investing into shares. I think it's a great thing to do for your future. Property investing, there can definitely be unethical property investing. There can also be ethical property investing. And I know some people will disagree with that, but that's my point of view on it. I think you can absolutely invest in property ethically. Either way, property investing isn't going anywhere. And some people are interested in it. So why would I leave the conversation to only be to the hustle crowd who don't care about anyone else and don't care about the ethical versus unethical versions? I'm very careful who I bring on as a guest on the podcast. That's not to say I haven't messed up before. There have sometimes been people who got on that I just was like, don't know if that was the best choice. Not on this podcast, on my previous podcast. So far, so good on this podcast. But I'm very, very careful and I try really hard to vet people before they come on. And then we talk about the ways of being a good landlord and the ways to invest in property carefully and to do it right. But also at the same time, you know, if you're saying, how can you talk about property investment and mortgages for homeowners at the same time? Well, the people who invest in property know property lending inside out. And they've got some great tips that you can absolutely learn from as a homeowner of how to get rid of that debt faster if you want to. The other option is I only bring on mortgage advisors, which then people get upset about because they say, well, they're just trying to sell me something. Do we never talk about mortgages ever? You know, this is... buying a home is, for a lot of people, one of the biggest things they'll ever buy. you've got to know how to pay off that mortgage. And so I think it's important to have a range of voices, to have more than one type of person on, and to talk about the smart ways and the ethical ways to get ahead with our money, because I think you can. I would say, when you say every homeowner is a property investor, I disagree. Your own home is not an investment. I've said this before, people get really mad about it, but it's true, because it's not making any money for you. It's a big saved cost. It can be great for your financial future. That doesn't make it an investment. If it's not making any money for you, it's not an investment. Property investment means someone else is living there paying you rent. Your own home isn't earning money for you. You can pay off that mortgage, and it will be a huge saved cost. It'll really reduce how much you're paying just to stay alive. Fantastic. I own my home. It's a good financial decision for me. This home is not an investment. An asset, maybe. Not an investment. So, yeah, that was sort of a roundabout way of addressing your questions. I hope it addressed your question. I didn't script anything for this, so please bear that in mind, that if I didn't answer it perfectly, it's just me talking to you, one person to another, about where that comes from. And I'm open to your feedback, but I think the idea of just saying no property investors ever on the podcast, I don't think that's helpful to the conversation, but open to your feedback. Oh, and the last one, are you going to make a subscription to your website or Instagram? Love the mahi. Thank you. I love the mahi too. For anyone outside of New Zealand, that is work. Love the work. Probably not going to make a subscription to my website or my newsletter or my Instagram. I say probably because you never know. And again, this is my own business these days. You never know how you need to change the business in the future. So just never say never, because especially the social media world, that can all change, right? I'm very lucky to work with some sponsors on this podcast that they understand the mission is to tell people truthfully about their money, empower people to look after their money. And they're working with me on that. And part of that is they give me money to be involved in this, to get their ad messages out there. And I would much rather charge a company money and we all get something out of it than to charge people like yourselves money. Any sort of subscription that I set up is going to be charging individual people money. And again, like, maybe that'll happen in the future. I like that I don't need to do that right now. I don't feel the need to wall off any of my content. I'm good. I have enough. So it means that I can keep putting out a lot of information for free, like this podcast, like my newsletter, like my social media content. And I truly believe that it's so important to get as much good money content out to people as possible, because it does change people's lives. When they know what their options are, it does change things. It's happened in my own life. I've had so many messages from people who have had things change for them once they understood the money world better. So for now, no subscriptions. Hopefully in the future, no subscriptions, but, you know, never say never. Okay, a rant and some questions. That is all for today. Don't forget to subscribe on the Making Sense podcast wherever you are listening to this, so that you never miss a trick with your money. You can also send me questions for the future so that you get them answered the next time we do one of these Ask Me Anythings. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, pretty much everywhere as Frances Cook NZ. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.